This podcast is supported by Cartier. In celebration of the Trinity Collection's 100th anniversary, Cartier shares testaments of love in all its forms from around the world. Please keep listening for today's love story later in this episode.
Love now and
did you fall in love last time?
I love
him. Love was stronger than anything.
For the love, love.
And I love you more than anything.
There's to love.
Love.
From the New York Times, I'm Anna Martin. Welcome to a new season of Modern Love. We're going to spend this first episode with Diana DeVay. Diana wrote a modern love essay with a juicy title. It's called Why Won't Anyone Help Me in This Sex Shop? And we're going to get to it, I promise. But first, I want you to meet her the way I did.
Hello, great to meet you. Diana.
I'm Diana.
Great to meet you.
She's legally blind, so she needed a little bit of help getting settled.
There's sort of like a screen
yes.
in front of the mic.
I think I see, as it were.
Diana had pink streaks in her hair, and she was wearing these incredible sneakers.
Diana, your shoe game beats mine.
Yeah.
Oh. You have just,
yeah.
I mean, I fall down and worship you. Because
and she immediately made me feel beautiful.
I think you're wonderful. It's as simple as that.
Diana is a psychotherapist. She's had her own private practice for decades, and she's 84. So she's had a lifetime of experience when it comes to intimacy and to sex. Lately, she sort of made it her personal mission to talk about this stuff. To normalize our desires.
I do think that every woman should have a vibrator, and it should be on her nightstand because we want to be able to think about our own pleasure.
To her, sensuality isn't just about sex. She says it's about how you approach the world as a person with a body. Diana DeVay is one of the oldest writers to be featured in Modern Love. And her essay is a celebration of her age and the self-knowledge that comes with it. Her essay is called Why Won't Anyone Help Me in This Sex Shop? And it's read by Holly Palance.
I didn't see what the problem was. I may be a little older than most. I'm 83 and legally blind. But generally speaking, people are pleased to welcome me into their shops and boutiques. But here, in the sophisticated Soho sex store, no one was asking if I needed help finding anything. The friend I had invited specifically to review and report on the merchandise seemed to have vanished. Had she been magically vaporized in a mist of embarrassment by the array of multicolored dildos? What did she expect in a place like this? I had it in mind to purchase a couple of delightful toys because I believe in the pursuit of happiness for people of all ages and proclivities. I was ready to buy. But there appeared to be no one to sell. I am visually impaired, as anyone can see by my cane. I needed assistance, now more than ever. I needed my companion. When I asked her, she seemed game to accompany me on this expedition. Why was she hiding now? Functioning adults shouldn't be bashful because they're in an environment dedicated to pleasure. It would be absurd in this day and age, wouldn't it? My motto is sex for one, sex for two, sex for all who desire it. And that emphatically includes those of us who are deep into old age. I find prudishness around sex shops baffling. I grew up in the 1950s, the age of Dr. Freud's pronouncements concerning vaginal orgasm. Back then, people thought the use of toys would diminish the primacy of the almighty male organ. But now, do we really still believe that men are so fragile that unless they are a woman's one and only source of sexual pleasure, they will lose their status as masters of the universe? Why would we impose such a burden on these poor things? I located my shopping companion at last, and I laid a comforting hand on hers. I said, "Why the timidity?" "I thought you were joking when you said it was a sex shop," she said. "We don't do this where I come from, Lord have mercy." I could almost hear her blushing. "My dear," I said, "total pride in all of our adventures. No shame, no judgment." Was there a problem with the idea of an old, blind social worker as sexual enhancement guru? Or was the problem my clear voice penetrating the hushed environment? I grasped her arm firmly, and we sashayed together down the aisle. Pink, purple, baby blue, turquoise. So many intriguing items and such delicious colors. I will not detail the equipment on offer, as I want to encourage everyone to have their own personal journeys of exploration. Imagine it. A bar of music floats through the window, bringing flashback memories with it. A special playlist to assist in adjusting the rhythms of pleasure. How convenient to have that soupçon of electrical energy tucked into the nightstand drawer. Instant inspiration. A new modern meaning for the old time out. My companion and I completed our purchases. She had gotten into the swing of things and followed my good example. She chose purple. We left the store, swinging twin shopping bags, and stood at the corner laughing. Two friends enjoying the snap, crackle, and pop of life. There should be no age limits on the sensual sexual life. Erotic energy is always age appropriate. It is a way of being in the world, a twist we add to our mundane routines. We flirt with the bus driver, let a perfect piece of chocolate melt tantalizingly on our tongue. Our bodies are our friends, not just trays to carry around our heads. We register the world through our senses. And although in old age we are familiar with diminished hearing and vision, let us use our deficits to pull closer to taste, touch, and smell. We're in the final act. We must center pleasure. It's how we honor the prodigious gift of being alive. Why not continue the celebration with some treasures from a sex shop? I have a long-time love. We old ones know we will lose each other one of these days. But in the meantime, my focus is on closeness and humor. In the secrets of our flesh, my partner and I find each other. We delve and discover. He sits on the edge of the bed, removes his glasses, folds them neatly, and places them on the nightstand. He is deliberate, my love. When he turns his head, I can't see his expression. But I believe I can feel it. And I know what will come next. He turns off the light. Tucked in his arms, I match my breathing to his. A touch, a word, a caress. I sink down 5 fathoms deep. I stretch out. I'm gathered up. I prepare to fly. We live in old bodies, this man and I. But for the moment, we live. Strong in desire. Sure in the bright joy of our flight.
Everything Diana DeVay does seems infused with sensuality. And I really wanted to know how I could bring that energy into my own life. After the break, Diana shows me how.
This podcast is supported by Cartier.
Noelle was in London for a couple of weeks and we met on a dating app and we went on a first date on a Wednesday, and by the Thursday we were booking flights to Lisbon together. So it was a very successful first date. We just kept thinking this could be the last time we see each other. So we just made every moment so special. Every coffee, every meal we went on, every dance party we went to, it was like that was all that mattered. That was the moment, and we just felt everything, felt so much love for each other in that moment, and then the rest didn't matter. She's not ever been shy to make me feel loved, and she's never held back on making me feel special. And that to me is so important. From the day I met her, she made me feel like the most special person in the world. And now she's my wife.
With love, from Cartier.
I'm Julie Turkowitz. I'm a reporter at the New York Times. To understand changes in migration, I traveled to the Darien Gap. Thousands have been risking their lives to pass through the border of Colombia and Panama in the hopes of making it to the United States. We interviewed hundreds of people to try and grasp what's making them go to these lengths. New York Times journalists spend time in these places to help you understand what's really happening there. You can support this kind of journalism by subscribing to the New York Times.
Diana, I loved your essay so much, and I was especially drawn to this quote of yours. I have it here. You said, "Our bodies are our friends, not just trays to carry around our heads." And that's an incredible image.
Well, we celebrate our lives through our physicality. We live in a shame-based culture. There's body shaming a go-go. And if you are an old body, of course, it's horror. I mean, it's not just shame, it's body horror. Mm. Also, we live in a rush and grab culture. Mm. Let's grab a drink. Let's grab a coffee. Mm. So for me, the need to fight for our pleasure and our delight in sight and smell and touch and feel and hearing. I mean, we need to be expanding this all the time.
That really hit me right in the heart, because I do feel like I'm a pretty grabby person. I'm grabbing coffee. I'm grabbing drink. I'm grabbing 5 minutes for myself, you know, at home before I run out to go meet some friends. And I like it because I'm super extroverted. But this idea that you're touching on of like slowing down and really getting in touch with your embodied self is something I do so rarely. Let's say I had one night, you know, just to myself. Mm. I would love for you to sort of tell me what I should do on that night to get in touch with my sensuality.
Okay. So the first thing is all mechanical devices are turned off. The phone is off, the text is off, the email is off, everything is off, off, off.
And that is to limit distraction, I would assume.
Limit distraction. Mm. We adjust the light. I mean, do we pull the curtains? Do we let down the blinds? Do we light a couple of candles? We're going to create an ambiance for ourselves. You have to take yourself out of everyday minutes.
What do I do next?
Are you planning to have anything to eat in this evening?
I would love to eat something in this night.
My ideal would be some perfect mango. Oof. Juicy, scented, delicious. And, you know, take it and let it run down your arm. Have a beautiful glass of something, whatever you like, whether it's sparkling water or wine or champagne. Maybe a piece of chocolate. Now, where do you want to sit? Do you have a lovely velvet sofa that you sink into?
Kind of a scratchy secondhand sofa, unfortunately. Mm. But I do have a wonderful sort of poofy bed.
Poofy bed, beautifully turned down. Mm. Possibly with a sex toy tucked under the covers, just so it's handy. Then I think that a bath is a lovely thing.
Wait, Diane, I have something to admit to you.
What?
I don't love baths.
Oh my God, our entire relationship gone in one sentence?
Wait, can I defend myself for one second? I don't think I've had a bath in maybe 20 years. I just can't get over the sort of like sitting in the soup of your own film.
Oh, but this is a key point.
Okay, yes.
No, you take a shower when you get home from work.
Wait, you take a pre-bath shower?
Exactly.
Why has no one ever told me this? So you take a shower.
And you're all lovely and clean.
Right.
And then you put on a robe of some kind. Something very, very soft.
Mm.
So maybe now is the time for the bath.
Mm.
I mean, body oils. Rub oil into every part of your body. Because it's luscious.
How do you know when this night of sensuality, or how would you bring it to an end?
The obvious way, according to me, is that when we are in bed, we explore our own sexuality.
Right.
And with a toy or without a toy. You know, the point is not the toy. The point is, what is the pleasure?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it turns out that it's the crook of your arm that just feels, oh my God, mm-hmm. so many sensations.
Right.
I mean, sometimes it may just be the sensuality, just to have an evening of the senses, and that's enough.
Right.
And sometimes, though, we really want to see. Do we want a little kind of orgasm? Do we want a more intense one? What is it that we want that calls to us?
Mm.
And how do we hear the call?
I'm thinking about this wonderful night that you've laid out. You know, mm-hmm. I am childless and I live alone, but if I were a parent with a kid, that kind of night would be impossible.
Yes, it would be.
So if someone didn't have like the time or the resources for a full night of self-pleasure, what are some small things someone could do?
I think it's great always to have a secret.
Mm.
And that could be that we're wearing a neutral color dress, but then we have an outrageously colored slip. We have to understand that self-appreciation, self-exploration is radical. And I'm saying, do something radical.
What are your plans for tonight? Are you going to go home, eat a mango?
Well, I will take a bath. Mm.
Now that I know about the pre-shower bath, I will take a bath as well.
Wonderful.
In our next episode, a father sits his young daughters down in the living room. He has a confession.
I told them there was something that I've known since I was a young child, but when I tell you, I'm still the same person. It's just that you're going to know.
A secret that breaks up a family, coming up on Modern Love. Modern Love is produced by Julia Botero, Hans Buto, Christina Josa, and Elissa Dudley. It's edited by Sarah Saracen. This episode was mixed by Alicia Baitoub. Dan Powell created our Modern Love theme music and the original music throughout this episode. Digital production by Mahima Chablani and Nell Galogli. A special thanks to Anna Diamond at Autumn, Noelle Franco, and Bianca Maiocchi. The Modern Love column is edited by Daniel Jones. Mia Lee is the editor of Modern Love Projects. I'm Anna Martin. Thanks for listening. Just so you know, I really did take that bath. And it was, as Diana would say, fabulous.